Also ich bin jetzt hier bei Firefly Entertainment, Firefly Studios und spiele jetzt Stronghold Crusader 2 an. Das Ganze wird sich über etwa eine halbe Stunde hinziehen. Ich versuche so viel wie möglich zu beschreiben, aber die Devs sind Engländer und deswegen werde ich Englisch sprechen. Ich hoffe, ja, wir sind ja hier alle aufgeklärte Menschen, sage ich mal. Wir sind ja alle Studenten, wir können ja alle Englisch. Also soll das ja kein Problem sein. Okay, let's get started then. So your names are again?
My name's Paul.
I'm Nick.
So Paul and Nick, and they're gonna show me Stronghold Crusader 2. Yeah, let's get started.
So basically, obviously, it's the sequel to what is the fans' favorite, which is, you know, the original Stronghold Crusader.
Yes.
It's a game which, you know, the great thing about Crusader is it's got huge amounts of replayability. So it's a game which people, you know, play and play again. And because it's got, you know, so much kind of variety and so much customizability, that they just love, you know, mixing up maps, opponents. You know, it's got 8-player multiplayer that can be human, you know, or it can be a mixture of human and AI.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's really what, you know, everybody loves. It's all, you know, it means it's like the ultimate kind of castle skirmish game.
Yeah, I did love the how the different AI opponents behaved in the original Stronghold Crusader,
Exactly.
As well. Yeah.
And so in this demo, you can see actually this is quite a simple demo. It's basically the first sort of skirmish mission in the game. But this is against the Caliph, who's coming back from the original. So just like the original, as you say, 8 AI opponents, all with their own personalities.
Okay.
And we've tailored their castle style and their fighting style and everything to that personality. So the Caliph, he's quite aggressive.
Okay.
So
he attacks very early on. He likes to use fire a lot in his traps.
Yeah.
They each have their own preferences for troop types as well. So, you know, the Wolf might use very heavily armored units. The Caliph might use more nimble troops that he can attack you with fast early on. And each AI character has their own sort of unique castle design as well.
All right. Important question: is the pig coming back?
Don't know. Maybe. You know,
it was my favorite opponent.
We've announced that the rat and the wolf will be coming back.
Yeah.
And that's not the last character from the original game.
So I
so
won't get
hope.
That information
there's hope,
from
there's
you.
Hope.
All right.
Just for you, Paul, we will think about bringing him back.
You will think about bringing him back. Okay. Very nice.
So there'll be 8 different characters in the game at launch, and then we're going to add another 8 ones post-release as well.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, nice.
So the game, if the characters aren't in the game straight away at launch, don't worry, because they may be, you may be featured in the
updates
later on.
So basically, for everyone who didn't play the original Stronghold Crusader, maybe, it's basically, I always describe it as a mixture between basically Settlers with a bit more castle building. Basically, so it's got all of the resource gathering which you would have in Settlers, and then it's got like this Age of Empire-esque feel to it with the individual units, kind of similar art style, and then you've got this very unique castle building aspect where you can build walls and have to sort of macro manage your castle a lot.
The game actually came about because our bosses used to work for Impressions Games.
Okay.
And Impressions made games like Caesar 3, which is a city builder.
Okay.
And they made Lords of the Realm, which is like a castle game.
Okay.
And so what they did is, like, Simon, our boss, programmed Caesar 3, and Eric produced it. And so what they did, they took the city builder elements from Caesar with the castle elements of Lords of the Realm.
All right.
And they basically stuck those together, and that is what a Stronghold game is, just as you described it, really.
Okay, nice. So I brought my little note card here because so I won't forget anything. So I watched a couple of videos, and one thing about Stronghold Crusader, what really intrigued me was the wall building system, how they crumble, and how wall building works. It's pretty it's pretty dynamic, actually. I'm just going to turn off my cell phone real quick so that doesn't happen
again.
It's
funny, actually, because one of the things we get asked for a lot of the time is make a new 2D Stronghold game, make a new 2D Stronghold game. We totally understand why people, you know, ask for that, but at the end of the day, it means that we wouldn't be able to produce a game with, you know, great habit physics, which are kind of made for like a castle game, really. Like, you want to, if you're sieging someone's castle, you want to see the trebuchet or the catapult blow a massive hole in their wall and see it crumble down. So you spend a lot of time getting the sort of the weight of each stone feeling like just right, so it feels like your attacks have impact, and that kind of positive feedback is what we want people to feel when they're sieging someone else.
That's actually really awesome, because one of the things that I actually found really immersion breaking about, like, say, games like, let's just go with StarCraft, or let's go with, I don't know, Battle for Middle-earth or something. A lot of RTS games was that once the units started attacking castle walls and buildings, they just hit them with their swords, which didn't make a lot of sense. Which also was like that in the original Stronghold, but as far as I know, in this version of the game, they actually get out their pickaxes and start picking away.
Paul will show you in a second. It's one of those things that, you know, it kind of doesn't make any sense. Units just grabbing their swords, going to the walls and just hacking them down. But we've changed it now so they actually take out tools and sort of dismantle the walls one by one. I mean, it is tempting to, and we've got the option in there, strong walls, so that if you want to just have it siege equipment takes down walls and the units can't take down walls, you can turn that on. But if we made it so that only siege equipment could knock down walls, it would break the gameplay, because if you run out of siege equipment, then you can't do anything. So we kind of added a bit more realism just by sort of adding a compromise, so units will actually take out tools and sort of slowly dismantle walls, and it'll take a long time. So if you really want to break down the walls, you need siege equipment. But,
So about realism in this game, let's elaborate a bit on that point, because this is a Crusade game. Basically, the Crusades were obviously about European countries going
invading.
They're
the bad guys, really.
Basically, they are the bad guys. They invaded Arabia, basically. And with Stronghold, obviously, you want to capture this feeling of Arabia, of how everything works right there. I can see this map right now. I also heard that you have a lot more maps coming. So how different will the maps be, map types? Will it be a lot of stones, basically? Because Arabia basically is a lot of desert and not much else, and some oases. Or will you have some different map types as well?
So there are maps with sort of like deltas in them, with sort of rivers flowing through the middle. There are mountainous maps. There are open plain maps where, you know, it will be desert for large swathes of the land, and there might be a mountain range in the middle. And it all depends on the map size, really. I mean, it goes all the way from small to extra large. The kind of way we describe how big an extra large map is, if you take an archer who's sort of a medium speed unit, he can run across an extra large map in 3 minutes.
That's actually really large.
I mean, and it's one of those things, like, if we release the game and the community say, oh, the maps aren't big enough for like bigger maps, we're happy to do that as well. It's just a performance thing, really, in terms of optimization.
Do you intend to release a map editor? Because that was nice.
And we want to add Steam Workshop support as well.
So that
people can trade maps quite easily. And you don't have to go to a website and upload it and download it and put it in a folder.
Original. Awesome. Okay, very nice.
Because we know that people used to create like Lord of the Rings maps and stuff like that, so it'd be nice to see some Game of Thrones stuff come out.
I'd love that as well. Cool. Although I have to admit, I never watched Game of Thrones, so...
Oh, cool. I'm jealous.
I still gotta do that. Let's see.
I'm sure you'll enjoy
it. So what Paul here is doing, he's basically setting up defense for the siege which the Caliph is putting up right here. He's actually attacking right now, so you can see these are slaves and slave drivers, I guess, attacking the walls and catapults. Really, really awesome wall crumbling physics. I'm still in awe about them, although you can see the blocks kind of still, but I mean, how much you want to ask. I'd just be interested, is this wall destroyed? Can you pass through there, or isn't it destroyed?
Almost. It will be soon.
Yeah. As soon as it hits the bottom level, there's a little bit left.
Right.
Wait a minute. I need to set fire to my pitch.
Now you can go through, I guess.
Yeah, so
well, you
now...
can try.
So look, the swordsman has just gone through now, so...
So we got two swordsmen getting brutally slaughtered right here. And there's a fire going on in front of the castle.
So one of the things, obviously, the castle I just designed there, it was quite a thin wall, but one of the things I think the original, the fans of the original will appreciate is that we've gone back to a system whereby you can essentially layer up wall.
Okay.
So, you see, I can actually layer as much wall, you know, yeah, any thickness of wall I want, which is really back to how we had it in the original Crusader, yeah, which I think, you know, is what fans like, because it means they've got more flexible designs for their castles, and they, yeah, and they can obviously make stronger castles rather than having basically just two sides of wall to place down.
Yeah, what also was pretty awesome, actually, that the tower got hit by a boulder from a trebuchet, and I mean, the animation was a bit buggy still, I suppose, but the archer actually fell down, and there was a pretty neat that these small aspects of the game are all there to further the immersion even more. I'm really loving it. Also, the way the rubble vanishes from the castle walls, I'm liking that a lot.
So one thing we did, because actually destroying the walls is really satisfying, we wanted to do something similar for the tower, so we've got a whole cracking system and a whole, you know, and as you saw, the destruction, and they even, if you look closely, they actually wobble when they get hit.
Ooh,
so there's a
awesome.
Kind of, that's kind of level where we're at, where we can add that kind of polish to the game to make it feel really nice.
Yeah.
And it's a nice compromise as well, because a lot of people want another 2D stronghold, right? So by going back to the sort of isometric style gameplay in 3D, like buildings are all placed on a grid, the walls are all placed on 8 directions, so it works for gameplay. There's no like fiddling around trying to get the walls to click together, they just, you know, fall into place. It's kind of a nice compromise between the two. So it feels like an old stronghold game, but it looks like a new stronghold game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's actually pretty awesome, because as far as I know, the original Strong was like 2.5D, wasn't it?
Yeah, isometric,
Isometric 2.5D, yeah. So, it's pretty awesome to see that you can look at it from a lot of different angles as well, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's not fixed like 4 directions like the original game was.
Yeah. All right, so I'm from a university, and we're media studies students. And we also do some game design at our university. We actually got a couple of courses. So I would have a couple of questions concerning game design in this game. Why you made certain decisions? So you told me you wanted to put a lot of focus on the feeling how the walls crumble.
Yes.
So maybe you can give me some insight into how that design decision came about, what steps of iteration you used, and how long it even took to come up with that decision. Now that was a long
question. It's always an interesting one, actually, because obviously, it's funny, whenever in the past, whenever Havok came to us and demoed their technology, what they always did was they'd have like a tower block.
Okay.
And they would always fire stuff at it.
Yeah.
And it would always break into bricks.
Okay.
And so we're like, Well, this is the most obvious thing for a castle game in the world. So essentially, we're just taking, you know, really what, almost like a Havok demo, and just like literally putting into a stronghold game, and you know, being able to do that, and is really important. And just because obviously our focus in Crusader is about attacking and defending castles. It's all about that. That is. Absolutely, it's a skirmish game where you need to destroy the other person's castle.
That's basically your vision, then.
So the one thing we needed was to make sure that when you attack someone's castle, it feels good. You know, it's got to feel like, wow, this is what it should be like.
Yeah, and games are all made back of individual feedback loops. So one of the most important feedback loops in a castle game is the destruction of someone else's walls, the siege, and that needs to be as satisfactory as possible, basically.
All right, I just wanted to check that my recording is still working properly. So I think it is. I'm going to put it a little bit more towards the center.
Okay.
Because maybe
ambient
I didn't.
Noise.
Yeah, ambient noise. But it should be fine.
Okay. Cool.
All right. So yeah, you said feedback loops.
Yeah. And this is like the most important one, like really, in terms of like a castle game. Fair enough, building your castle should be fun, and you know, we've got that down with the wall system and the way it all interlocks together quite nicely, but the other half of the game is destroying someone else's castle, so it's pretty much the most important feedback loop you've got in the game.
So, on behalf of my good friend Timo Ratzik, I'm gonna have to ask you, why no screen shake? Now, I know it's a strategy game, but I'm gonna have to ask you anyways, because if I don't, he's gonna punch me.
There is one feature we were trying to experiment with. We've got these like weather systems in the game. So they're more like events. So there might be a tornado that comes in and rips your castle wall apart, or it might be like a thunderstorm or a locust swarm. So we have these kind of weather type events, and one of them is an earthquake. And we were experimenting with one of the easiest ways to give a sense of an earthquake is to shake the screen. So
yeah,
there is a chance that we're still going to do that. Don't worry.
So screen shake may be a real possibility. Yeah. So someone's glad about
that. We do get a lot of people that say, hey, that makes me feel like nauseous.
Yeah.
So like, if we add it in, I think we'll add the ability to turn it off as well.
I think one problem is in a frantic stronghold game, there's so much attacking that
it might distract
you. We might have to put a system for the screen not shaking in.
Because
there'll be so much shake.
Yeah, no. I'm definitely with you on the strategy game, and screen shake doesn't work very well. But like I said, I got someone. I had to ask that. All right, so we got a counterattack here going on. I think it has a marginal chance of success. It
should be. Thank you.
It could work.
Yeah.
Like you outnumber them like 50-1 right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Paul could go in through the front door, knock a hole in the walls, and take him out. Or Paul could burn down farms, mess up his economy. We also have the ability to throw diseased animals into the car as well, so you can spread disease.
So basically it's Monty Python.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Fechelevashi,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Fechelevashi.
So there's loads of different ways you can.
All right.
Well,
awesome. So, I'm going to take my card, so...
Have I given you my cards?
Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, sure. I haven't got one. I'm pretty new to this whole
thing.
That's
okay.
So.
Just send me an email. Business cards just disappear after.
Yeah.
As long as you email someone once, you get their email in your Outlook, and then you never look at the business cards ever again.
All right. So, what I wrote down here for myself is a state system. You have introduced a state system.
Yes.
For anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's basically there are three types of states: own state, enemy state, and neutral state. And you can only build an own state and neutral state.
Yeah. You can also build siege camps
in enemy states.
But not enemy states.
All right. And then when you build a siege camp, that becomes your state.
It's just sort of in the middle between. So it's a way to launch, set up a forward base, and launch an attack from that base, basically.
So can you?
And you still have to clear the area first. You can't just push a siege camp like in the middle of the enemy forces.
Yeah. So to expand your own state, what do you have to do?
I think you can take out the other players. Your state.
Well, essentially, you can take over a village estate, which will then allow you to essentially mine their resources. So the village estate will be set up. Like it might be producing apples, or it might be producing wood or whatever, and then they will then automatically send those back to you. But we still keep the actual player's estate limited to that area, so that rather than be able to create a ludicrously, big castle half the map, it's about maximizing the land within your estate.
So on that, what was that design decision about? Because I think that's a less obvious one. Because you could say maybe it feels more rewarding when once you take down other players' castles and more that you can just further your state of influence. Yeah, that may seem rewarding. I don't know if it does. So could one of you elaborate?
I think as game designers, I think you always have to put limits on the game. Yeah, I think in certain degrees you have to put limits on the gameplay to keep the focus of the gameplay tight. And I think one of the reasons we want to make sure that it keeps each player within the game by limiting that. If you could literally take over half the map, then that player would be so dominant that the other players would probably just give up. So it still gives everybody a chance to compete by limiting it within that area of land.
So you basically want to cut down snowballing, is what you're saying?
I think so.
Yes, snowballing, basically that once you get a lead, it's almost impossible to come back for other... I mean, there are people who say that this this disables or doesn't make the points of early leads relevant, but... where am I going with this?
I think there's always two trains. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of gameplay these days has gone more freeform.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I think there's a, you know, then there's other games which actually are putting limits on things on purpose for gameplay. Yeah. And I think that's the approach we take, is that it's easier for us to control, because essentially with a Stronghold game, you know, we are simulating the whole game in every game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's quite difficult. Yeah, you can pretty much do anything you want in a Stronghold game, and really we only put sort of really small limits on the players,
okay.
But the limits we do put on there is really just to control gameplay and keep it
balanced.
Sort of, yeah, balanced, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, which is a lot of the, it's quite, yeah, a lot of game design is about balance and just keeping the gameplay flowing in a good way.
So I actually, personally, I think it's actually quite good. Oh, you took down the Lord.
Oh,
no, you didn't?
I went into attack, and then, unfortunately, he set his whole castle on fire, and in a last-ditch attempt to save himself, he basically set fire to his own castle, thus killing all my swordsmen.
Yeah, I actually noticed some really nice AI stuff. For example, beforehand, as the caliph attacked your wall, his units actually went, or his trebuchets shot at the place in the wall where your pitches, where you didn't have any pitches and spears, and then his units went through there as well. I see the icons from Stronghold Crusader are also back as well, which is nice. I mean, they're obviously they're new graphics, but...
Yeah. Okay, I've lost the caliph.
Hopefully he's in the fire somewhere.
Oh, yeah, wait, there he was. Where? Oh, gosh. I know,
where?
His castle. I don't know. Normally he's on top of the keep.
Because at the corner of my eye, he looked like friggin' Ezio from Assassin's Creed.
There's certain, you know, similarities to some of the characters. I think, you know, certainly the oil pot throwers have been mentioned that they maybe were inspired. Well, we both were inspired by the same, source. Oh, there he is. He's back on the top.
Oh, no, that's definitely not Ezio, though.
Oh, Evil Ezio.
Yeah, Evil Ezio.
So, okay.
So if you want to play Evil Ezio, play Stronghold Crusader 2.
Okay, my attack has been a bit of a disaster in the...
Sorry, you can just build some new swordsmen, right?
And because...
Go get some Arabic ones.
Because Paul here can't multitask, he didn't have any macro going on while...
It's so true.
19.
Okay.
Fine, let's do some healers as well.
Alright, what I love to do in the original Stronghold Crusader was just buy... a mercenary camp at the very beginning, buy a couple of, or like 25 assassins, or 25-ish assassins, and just go kill everything.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. There are a couple of guys in the original Crusader who are a little bit too overpowered, horse archers being, you know, one slight culprit of that, so, you know, we have added some things in to balance that out.
Alright, nice.
The horse archer, his natural enemy is the Sassanid Knight, who has a charge ability.
All
so
right.
In the original game, the problem was that the horse archers were not only very powerful, but they were very fast. So no unit could actually catch up with them. So the Assassin Knight actually has a charge, so he can catch up with the horse archers, take him out. And we're doing similar things with the assassins to not make them too overpowered, because we want each unit to be viable, you know, in the game.
So you're going for a rock, paper, scissors approach,
Exactly, and it kind of builds into the abilities as well. So each unit's got its own, well, more than half of Gen's units have got their own special ability.
All right.
So the slave driver can boost the armor of slaves by motivating them.
Yeah.
The Assassin Knight can charge, the Whirling Dervish has a spinning attack, the healer can heal, the standard bearer has a banner, so he raises the morale of troops nearby him. So for instance, if you had a load of Sassanid Knights charging at you, pikemen have the ability to push their pikes into the ground and form a defensive line, and if they get hit by a load of Sassanid Knights, they'll actually deal like double damage to the Sassanid Knights. So the countering system builds into the abilities and vice versa.
And they actually also don't take much damage as well.
Yes.
In the process. I actually saw that in a video.
And you have to be very careful about fully armored units versus lightly armored units as well. Like the Whirling Dervish can take out a whole squad of slaves, but if you send him against armored units, he's not going to do much damage.
Okay,
but it's the same like if you send swordsmen into pitch
and
then a lot of fires around them, having a full suit of armor is going to make them very ineffective, and they're going to die pretty quickly because they're very slow.
So we have a winner here.
I did win.
Paul made up for his terrible macro. mine's even worse. You shouldn't watch me play StarCraft. It's pretty embarrassing. So
this is our victory screen. So you've got stats on the different types of gameplay. Yeah, so you can see where you started selling all your goods, where you know,
basically it's standard. It's actually pretty extensive here. I can see. Wow. Yeah, okay.
The graphs aren't completely working properly. I don't know why.
It's a beta build anyway, so I'm not gonna judge it on that. It's nice to see that you're putting a bit of effort in statistics, because obviously there are always people who are into that. I myself am not really a big.
But some people want to see where, you know, why did I lose that match, and they kind of go into, okay, now I sold all my gold at this point, and then I failed, you know, the defense.
And we aim for replayability, so by, you know, analyzing your performance and then trying to improve next time is very important.
Do you have replays?
Not yet. As we've always said, basically, just because, you know, when we release it, we're not finished with it then. What we want to do is add extra features in as we go forward, because, you know, we don't look at this as a game that on September the 2nd when it comes out, that's it, you know, we've finished with it. What we're going to do is we're going to keep adding features like Steam Workshop. We've got a co-op mode in the game. What we mean by that is, rather than you can team up, so, you know, we could have a castle each, but in co-op mode we can actually share the same castle.
Yeah, we can both have that awful macro then.
Absolutely. So you'll do the attacking, because obviously I'm terrible. And then I'll be at home just, you know, taking care of the apples.
No, you don't get it. So. I'm terrible as well.
Okay, I'm not going to co-op with you then. So what we'll do is also we're going to add, after release, we'll actually add the co-op to the campaign. So, you know, even once people have gone through the campaign, they'll then be able to replay the campaign, but in co-op, which I think, will be really popular.
So there'll be plenty of post-release, there'll be plenty of updates, content updates, free, paid for. Both.
So
AI characters will probably charge more, but it won't be very much, and then we'll add some new features like the ones Paul was describing for free.
Right, extra campaigns to go with the characters. You know, loads of content. Just, you know, if you really enjoy the game, then great, you know. We're not going to, you know, we want to give them more content.
A lot of games, basically every game does that these days anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as mandatory updates are free,
absolutely. There's so much gameplay in a Stronghold game anyhow that, you know, it's really up to, if you want that, even more, then that's fine. Yeah, we'll give it to you. So.
Can you talk about a release price? Is anything set? Is anything planned? Or
we've always looked at Stronghold Games as a full price release. Just, you know, it's got it's got huge amounts of gameplay in there. So it's a game which the original people, you know, held onto for a long time.
They still play,
you know, even now over 10 years later. So we think, you know, it's such a good value product that it's a full price release.
All right. Yeah, so I'm gonna do a quick summary in German, and then I guess we're finished.
Right.
Also, es war super cool mit den beiden Jungs das hier zu spielen, mit Matt und mit Paul, auch Paul. Und also Stronghold Crusader 2. Oh, I forgot to ask for a release date. Is anything?
So it's very soon, 3 weeks time. So September 2nd.
September 2nd. Okay. Also am 2. September kommt Stronghold Crusader 2 raus. Es wird ein Vollpreisspiel sein, sprich wir reden hier so 40 Euro ungefähr, ein bisschen mehr wahrscheinlich. Es gibt sehr schöne KI, die KI hat mir sehr gut gefallen, wie die Wände, überhaupt die ganze Immersion im Spiel hat mir alles sehr gut gefallen. Und also es auf jeden Fall sieht vielversprechend aus, man muss noch sehen, wie es dann in der fertigen Version aussieht, aber ich denke, ich habe auf jeden Fall große Hoffnungen für dieses Spiel. War auch ein bisschen Fanboy vom originalen Stronghold Crusader, also irgendwie auch, wahrscheinlich bin ich ein bisschen vorbelastet, aber so generell. So guys, thank you a lot.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure meeting you too.
It was wonderful.
Brilliant, thank you.
May I have a business card with
Absolutely.
You as well?
Of course.
So basically it's my first Gamescom as press.
Nice.
I'm gathering.
Yeah.
Thanks. So we got a trebuchet and a rambock. It's in German. I don't know the English
word. Battering ram.
Battering ram, thanks. Well, it was a pleasure meeting you,
and too, right?
I'm looking forward to playing Stronghold Crusader when it launches.
Can't let
that's
it's great.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm gonna just stop this. Oh.